Welcome to another edition of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast, where we talk about mainly aesthetic things from forehead to feet, with a concentration on things in between. Today's in-between topic, and by the way, I'm your host, Dr. Ed Zimmerman, aka the Dick Doc. Today's in-between topic is one that doesn't affect us a lot externally cosmetically, but it affects a lot in some people what goes on inside their heads. And that's called vasectomy. Why talk about vasectomies now? Because March Madness, coming up soon, also called Vas Madness, is the time that the greatest number of guys in the United States get vasectomies. Now, some interesting statistics on vasectomies, which is, by the way, a means of birth control for those of you who've never heard of it before, but let's talk about why that is. Statistically, about 50 million guys have had vasectomies. That's 4 to 5% of married men of reproductive age. In the United States, we do about 500,000 vasectomies a year. And most of those go really great. There are about 6% of men who have second thoughts, who decide they want to father children or whatever down the road, who go ahead and try to get them to reverse. But it's a lot tougher to reverse it. And it gets tougher still the further out you go from the vasectomy procedure itself to reverse it and reverse it successfully. Now, some other interesting statistics. Vasectomy used as a method of contraception. In a small country called Bhutan, over at the edge of the Himalayas or Himalayas, depending on which side of the pond you come from, about 40% of couples rely on vasectomy for contraception. Followed by New Zealand, about 25% of couples, and Canada, the United States, and the United Kingdom all come in at about 20%, followed by Australia and the Republic of Korea at 12.5%, and then it goes down from there. So, vasectomy has been a great form of contraception, particularly in the United States, and we'll talk about why that maybe. Number one, it's a lot easier for a guy to get an outpatient procedure that requires a little bit of local anesthetic, and depending on the guy, a little bit of oral or perhaps injectable sedation. The recovery is easier, and the results are, well, more apparent than it is for your spouse to get a bilateral tubal ligation, which has a much longer recovery, higher risk, certainly can be done, but tougher to do. In terms of peace of mind, a good reason to get a vasectomy is it decreases the risk of having a baby. We're talking 1 to 2 in 1,000 is the relative risk of a vasectomy not working or not working well. Now, there can be some side effects, and we'll talk about those in a minute, but they're generally temporary and not of great consequence compared to an internal surgery like a bilateral tubal ligation. Vasectomy won't change your testosterone level. It won't change your erectile function. So if Godzilla gets up in the morning and stays around long enough for you to have a nice ejaculation, it's still going to do that with or without a vasectomy. It isn't going to change your risk of prostate cancer or testicular cancer, and it isn't going to change your risk of contracting a sexually transmitted disease or infection. So all those things are things that vasectomy won't do. What it will do is eliminate the swimmers in your semen. So the semen is the fluid, which is a combination of many things that carries the sperm out. The sperm themselves don't take up a lot of room, and so the total concentration of the total volume of the ejaculate won't change. The pH or acidity won't change. The taste, or so I'm told, won't change. So a lot of things are going to be imperceptible. So how do you prove that you've had a vasectomy? Well, one of the things that you do is you have a post-vasectomy semen analysis, which is done 6 to 10 weeks or 15 to 20 ejaculations after the vasectomy procedure to prove that you no longer have swimmers in the mix. If you still have swimmers, then you're going to have to practice a little harder before you can taxi unprotected, so to speak. But for those guys, and when we do them in our office, I've only done vasectomies for about 40 years now, so we have a fair amount of experience and zero paternity rate. But for those guys and couples who decide to use vasectomy as a method of contraception and want to proceed, generally, we'll ask them to have a brief physical where we make sure there's no reasons not to do a small outpatient procedure that utilizes numbing medicine like the dentist uses. And as I said, any anxiety can be overcome with a little bit of Valium or Xanax or a little injection, but then someone else has to drive. So there are many guys who just come to the office, they've had their breakfast, lunch, whatever, eat normally, you don't have to fast before a vasectomy, and you can have had relations the night before, obviously before and after you're going to urinate and have erections as normal. And once they come to the office, we do ask them to have manscaped slightly beforehand just to eliminate some of the bushes and shrubs so we can find things more easily. We've done an inspection and we have normal anatomy, shall we say, for the gentleman. It doesn't matter whether they're circumcised or not circumcised. They are washed with a surgical solution and prepped, so they're kicked back on the surgical table, face up, and we set up a surgical field. They've generally put on some topical anesthesia along the front aspect of the scrotum, and that means that when I do a little pinch of numbing medicine, they barely feel it. They can't even feel an ice pack compared to what it feels like on their thigh when it's placed on the front of the scrotum. We put on just a little coldness there right before the pinch from the anesthetic, and that way they barely feel that. From that little pinch on the front of the scrotum, I can sneak into the spermatic cord, and that's a conduit that contains the vas deferens that would transit the sperm from the testicle all the way up and around and out the urethra, but basically gets it up to where it can be transited, along with the seminal vesicle, which is a little bit higher, the nerves, the arteries, the veins, all those things are in the conduit that we call the spermatic cord. So by putting a squirt of numbing medicine in each spermatic cord, we can effectively numb everything south of that. And then through a small opening, which can be, we call it a no-scalpel vasectomy because it's done with a little pointed instrument. We just make a little point, open up the scrotum a little bit, grab the vas, bring it out, looks like a little white worm, and then we isolate a piece of it. That's why it's called a vasectomy. We're removing a piece of the vas deferens conduit. And what I like to do in order to maintain my 0% paternity rate is I take a piece out about a centimeter and I tie both ends, and then on the conduit itself, I'll seal the opening inside both ends with a laser or radio frequency. I'll drop one end back inside the conduit, sew the conduit closed with an absorbable stitch, and then leave the one end outside. Now, each end where we've removed a piece has a non-absorbable stitch as well as is sealed with heat or energy. So we've taken out a piece, tied it, sealed it, put one end back inside, closed it up, left the other end outside. Drop that side back in, reach in, pull out the other vas deferens and do exactly the same thing. Now, someone who's very astute may be able to follow the vas deferens down and feel that space where we took out a little piece of the vas deferens. So if you feel very carefully, you may be able to feel that. But otherwise, there isn't a lot. So generally, we'll send the vas pieces out for pathology to confirm that those are indeed the vas deferens that we removed. We always check to make sure there isn't a third one in there, because in a small percentage of guys, instead of one on each side, there's one on one side, but there's two on the other side. We've had a few guys in my practicing career where we've had to take out three pieces. Or if they don't have pathology and they're very easy to identify, sometimes we'll put them in a little formalin solution and give them to the guy to take home and put on his mantle as proof of vasectomy. But in any case, after that, the little pinhole is not even big enough to require a stitch. We ask the guy to put on some supportive underwear, some tidy whities or a jock strap or something to give the boys some support. And we give them a little ice pack, not directly on, but just to keep things cool. And using a Ziploc with some ice chips or a bag of frozen peas or corn or something like that, something that just cools through a washcloth or something, is probably more comforting than any narcotic I can prescribe. So with most guys, we ask them to take about 2 grams of Tylenol beforehand. And that's most of the pain relief that they would need as they recuperate over the next 2 to 3 days. So they're going to take it easy. No visits to the gym for about a week. They can go back to work sometimes the next day, but usually if we do this on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're back at work on Monday, as long as they're not too physically active. And they're back in the bedroom in about 2 weeks. They need to use some alternative form of protection for the first minimum 6 weeks or 15 ejaculations, at least until we get a post-vasectomy semen analysis. Now, what is that? For the guys who fly in, and give you a little chit for the laboratory, and they will give you a little sterile container that you have to produce a semen collection in and then schedule ahead of time, because they literally have to have it delivered warm and look under the microscope to make sure that there's no living swimmers in that solution. So you got to set that appointment up ahead of time. Once you are cleared and there's no more swimmers in the semen, then you are cleared to taxi in unprotected fashion, at least with your spouse or partner. But remember that a vasectomy does not protect you from any kind of sexually transmitted infections or diseases. So there is that. But at least you can go ahead and you can have relations without fear of having to pay for another college education or whatever else that incurs. Interesting tidbit. Most guys who have vasectomies, again, 4-5% of married couples in the United States, they tend to be a little bit older, they tend to have had children already, and they tend to have secure jobs. So those are all interesting tidbits about vasectomies, in case you were wondering. Those are pretty much the things that we talk about with vasectomies. The procedure is done in the office, but we do set up a sterile surgical field. I use magnification, good lighting. We have Pronox for guys who want to use a little bit of laughing gas but still be able to drive themselves home, or a little bit of oral or injectable anesthesia for those guys who just don't want to be aware of anything. And it's generally been a very, very good procedure for guys in terms of peace of mind and obviously forms of contraception. So it's an alternative. Think about it. March Madness or Vaz Madness is coming up, so you have time to rest your butt on the couch and recover from your procedure if you schedule it ahead of time. It is something that you'll find more of your friends are doing over March Madness than any other time during the year. So kind of a fun thing to have a group discussion there, I suppose. But that's the skinny on vasectomy. And as some of our friends have said, well, maybe he'll make a better pet after he's fixed. This is Dr. Ed Zimmerman, and thanks for tuning in to Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast. Like, look, listen, share, ask your questions, give us some thumbs up, and we'll look forward to seeing you on our next production of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast.